This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting, as always, with your futures from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn finished lower, down 5 cents at 369 3/4. May corn finished down 4 3/4 to 378. And July corn finished at 386, down 4.5 cents. Soybeans for March were down 6 3/4 to 9 3/4 cents. May beans were down 7 cents to 914.5, and July beans finished at 928, down 7 cents. Chicago wheat for March finished down 14.5 cents to 489 3/4. May wheat finished at 492 1/4, down 14 3/4, and July wheat finished at 496.5, down 12 3/4. Soybean meal for March was down $1.10 to $305.40 a ton. May bean meal was at $309.50 a ton, down $1. And July soybean meal finished down $1.20 at $313.40. Finally, soybean oil for March finished down a 21 cents to $29.74. May soybean oil finished down 20 cents at $30.08. And July soybean oil finished down 21 cents at $30.41. And now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Tuesday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Tuesday afternoon. A fund sell-off from technical trading was a major factor in today's lower close. In northern western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 cents lower, 326 to 352. Soybean bids were down 6 to 9 cents at 817 to 850. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 cents lower at 338 to 354. Soybean bids were mostly down 6 to 7 cents at 839 to 862. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 6 cents lower at 336 to 367. Soybean bids were down 7 to 9 cents at 837 to 871. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 7 cents lower at 869 to 884. Basis is steady at 3200 to 17 under the March. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at $283.40 to $295.40 a ton, down $1.10 a ton, with basis unchanged to $2,210 under the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 5 cents lower at $3.45 to $3.64, with basis steady at $2,500 to $6 under the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators coated and producer corn bids 4 to 9 cents lower at $3.52 to $3.64, with basis mixed at $1,800 to $6 under the March. Soybeans ended down 3 to 8 cents at $8.51 to $8.66, with basis mixed at $1,500 to $3,500 under the March. New crop wheat prices dropped 13 to 15 cents at $4.62 to $4.87, with basis steady to down 2 at $3,500 to $10 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 5 cents lower, $3.81 to $3.82. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 7 to 8 cents. Quotations at 885 to 886. Off wheat closed 14 cents lower at 520 to 521. Milo ended the day steady to down 5 cents at 415 to 420. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 344 to 367. Soybeans at 860 to 891. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 352 to 368. Soybeans at 875 to 910. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 339 to 372. Soybeans at 862 to 896. And June, July wheat at 467 to 494. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle finished up $1.25 to $127.87. April live cattle finished at $128.45, up $1.27. And June live cattle finished up 52 cents at $118.60. Feeders for March were up $1.15 at $143.75. April feeders finished at $146 even, up 77 cents. And May feeders finished at $147 even, up 42 cents. Lean hogs for April finished down $3 to $56.52. May lean hogs were down $3 as well at $65.45. And June lean hogs also finished down $3 to $73.72. And now we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's Cash Livestock Reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 2 cents lower in a range of $44.50 to $49, with the weighted average carcass price of $48.23. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were mixed with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 23 to 27, 4 to 500 pounds at 24 to 30, 5 to 600 pounds at 26 to 34, over 600 pounds at 27 to 38. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and guts at the country buying points were steady to $1 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 25 to 35. Receipts for Illinois barrows and guts totaled 16,781. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 470 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $59.91, which was $1.67 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $217.27, which was 12 cents lower, with select carcasses at $213.54, which was 54 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000 compared to 118,000 for last week and 117,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 481,000 compared to 453,000 for last week and 444,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Fairview Sale Barn Auction results. Total receipts of 411. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 50 cents to $1.50 higher. Slaughter cows traded steady to 2 to 3 lower. Slaughter bulls sold 3 higher to last week's light test. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 119 to 130. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 124 to 130. Slaughter cows with average dressing premium sold in a range of 71 to 79. Breakers sold in a range of 53 to 63.50. Boners sold in a range of 50 to 60.50. Lean sold in a range of 37 to 47. Slaughter bulls with average dressing sold in a range of 85 to 92. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
President Donald Trump says he'd like to do a comprehensive immigration reform, a long-term goal of agriculture, seeking a stable seasonal workforce. But the chances for reform seem slim in the current political environment. President Trump linked secure borders and comprehensive immigration reform in his State of the Union address and again in his border wall national emergency announcement in the Rose Garden.
And I would like to see major immigration reform, and maybe that's something we can all work on, Bill, where we all get together and do major immigration reform, not just for a wall, for a barrier, for a port of entry.
But a divided Congress and now a battle over Trump's national security declaration to build a border wall make chances for fixing a broken immigration system seem slim to non-existent. Agriculture has been pressing for immigration reform unsuccessfully for years, even as farm leaders describe a crisis in securing enough legal immigrant labor. AFBF Executive Vice President Dale Moore described the problem earlier.
Some of our farmers have told us directly that they have to make decisions to plow under a crop because they don't have enough workers, leaving, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not in some cases millions of dollars, just plowed into the ground out there because they don't have the workers to pick it up.
A GOP bill last year would have created a new H2C program to expand existing H2A to cover dairy and some vegetables. National Pork Producers economist Dustin Baker says it's important to keep trying.
It certainly faces an uphill battle, but I think that this is such a top-of-mind issue for our farmers across the country that we really have to give it the best shot that we have.
Last year's bill would have allowed year-round access to a legal workforce, key for livestock and other year-round ag sectors. The Department of Labor says about half of the country's 850,000 farm workers are not in the U.S. legally, while growers say fewer are available from major sources like Mexico. The Senate Ag Committee and its leadership, including Chair Pat Roberts and Ranking Member Debbie Stabenow, announced that the Senate passed the Pesticide Registration Improvement Act. In the announcement, the senator said the unanimous Senate passage of the bipartisan PRIA legislation provides certainty to farmers, consumers, and many other stakeholders. We're urging our colleagues in the House to pass the legislation as soon as possible. The legislation moves into the House of Representatives and is the same bill that was passed by unanimous voice vote back in the Senate during June of 2018. As recently as December of last year, a number of agriculture groups urged Congress to pass the legislation. The PRIA establishes a framework for registering pesticides with the EPA. The original intent was to create a more predictable and effective evaluation process for affected pesticide decisions. The legislation includes technical changes and extends authority for the EPA to collect updated pesticide registrations and registration fees through 2023. As farmers prepare to finalize their planting intentions for 2019, there are several important factors to consider that can greatly impact yield. Michael Clemens has more.
Brett Oakes is the Channel Brand Corn Product Manager at Bayer Crop Science. He says there are a few things growers should keep in mind when planning a portfolio of products across an entire farming operation.
First thing I like to look at is the maturity for your growing season, understanding how you can maximize both early and later products for harvest window. If you think about environmental conditions during flower and grain fill. The next thing is really understand what kind of trait protection you may need for above and below ground insects, or if you're just looking for a herbicide or even a conventional lineup. Weather conditions kind of vary every year. Choosing products with different agronomic ratings helps balance some of the strengths and weaknesses of a product lineup and make sure you've got really productive corn hybrids for all of your farms.
Some farmers were seeing some disease in their fields in 2018. He explains what options are available to protect corn yields against disease in 2019.
When we think about 2019 and what Channel has to offer to help protect yields against disease, we're very excited about the launch of our Channel Protexas corn products that are designed to help farmers maximize the health of their crop and yield potential. So these Channel Protexas corn products provide genetic disease tolerance to five of the biggest yield-robbing corn diseases, along with the placement from a Channel seedsman that can help identify and help protect against different diseases a farmer's going to face during the growing season.
Oakes says it's important to have disease tolerance built in to protect yield.
We know the weather changes, the environment changes, that can play a big impact on the diseases that you may see in your fields. We know that the pathogen load can vary year to year, so you may have higher incidence of diseases like southern rust that may blow in. But the good thing about Channel Protexas corn products is they have genetic tolerance within that corn product to prevent against those diseases, whichever may show up. So it's actually a package of disease tolerance across those five diseases.
The important aspect, he says, is that farmers select products that spread risk.
Channel Protexas corn products help spread your risk against those five diseases by having that genetic tolerance. Whether the weather changes or the pathogen load changes, you've got protection out of the gate once you plant it.
As farmers get closer to planting, some of those details like seeding rates and populations become critical. Channel has a digital tool to help with those details.
Channel has a population optimizer tool you can find at channel.com that helps account for soil type, weather conditions, insects, weeds, and other agronomic factors. And the planting recommendations generated with the Population Optimizer tool are powered by years of planting population by yield research data from our Bayer Crop Science teams. As planting season nears, it's a great time to work with your local seedsman to identify your agronomic challenges and focus your management strategies on the channel products you've selected to grow for the 2019 season.
Find the Population Optimizer at channel.com/Population Optimizer. Michael Clements reporting.
In local news on the FFA side of things, the Litchfield FFA chapter is currently holding a canned food drive. The food drive will be held through Tuesday, February the 26th. Items can be dropped by the high school or sent to school with any Litchfield FFA member or student. And everyone is invited to stop by the Ag Shop on Thursday in Litchfield, where the FFA will be having a pork patty lunch from 11:30 to 1 to celebrate National FFA Week. Meals will be sold for $5, and they will include a pork patty sandwich, chips, drink, and a cookie. Also going on Thursday, the Gillespie FFA will be having a chili supper Thursday evening at 6 in the high school cafeteria. They will recognize their students for their successes and achievements of the school year. There's no cost for the supper, and drinks will be provided. However, donations are welcome. Also on Saturday morning, the Gillespie FFA alumni will be hosting a pancakes and sausage breakfast at the high school cafeteria Saturday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Ages from 5 to 12 years old are $5 a plate, and 13 and older are $7 a plate. Proceeds from the breakfast will benefit the scholarship fund for Gillespie High School FFA students. And remember to find all of these events and more. You can find all of this information on the website at WSMIRadio.com. Or if you'd like to send us any information about events coming up in your area, you can email us at news@WSMIRadio.com. For this Wednesday morning, February the 20th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.